The Storehouse Ministry welcomes you to another powerful teaching by Janice Saney.
I want to start out with a verse out of Genesis. Genesis 1:27. It says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." And then in verse 31 it says, "And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good." Now this is a basic scripture, but one of the premises we have to start on in learning to stand in what God has made us to be is that God created men and God created women, and he says it's good. And we have a tendency to joke a lot. Women make jokes about guys. Guys make jokes about women. And I can understand that, but we've got to be careful that we don't dishonor something God created. And I myself as a woman have come to understand that if I will value the fact that God created man and it's a good thing, I start off automatically expecting this to be something God is working through. But if I'm looking at shortcomings and flaws, then we focus on them. And the very premise I want you to start with is God created man and God created woman, and he said, this is good. Now, I know guys, sometimes when you're trying to figure out your wife and wondering where in the world she's coming from, you wonder what God had in mind when he made women. But go back to the premise that this is good. And when you start from that premise, God is able to teach you and show you things that will enhance you in appreciating womanhood. God didn't ask you if you wanted to be made a man. He chose to create you as a man. You didn't get to say, I want to vote here and decide which one I want to be. God selected you and he placed you in the position of manhood. And one of the things that troubles me greatly in our society is that for probably 30 years now at least, maybe longer, television has portrayed men as dorks, dumb, stupid. They don't even know how to take some Pepto-Bismol if they don't have their wife standing there doing it for them. If you notice the commercials on TV, there is always putting men down. That is not an accident. The devil understands that manhood is a powerful position. It's not just your sexual identity. It is a position that God created and put lots of authority on. And the devil has tried to strip it of its power. It has berated manhood. You look at every commercial. You watch every single commercial that portrays a man. And it's always putting the man down. I can remember when I was young, they still had Father Knows Best and TV shows that honored manhood and made the father appear to be someone who knew what he was doing, that could lead the family. You have a generation of young people that have cut their teeth on TV that has programmed them to see the guy as irresponsible, as dumb, as dorky. And we don't understand that this generation of young people are losing their identities of male and female. And you can see that by the abundance of the gay culture that's coming forth. We do not display manhood as something that a guy can look at and say, I'm one of those, you know, that's me. About the only thing men get to glory in is football and baseball. They can look at manhood and they can say, yeah, that's our nature. But everything else on TV portrays you wrong. If that was a woman that happened to, the feminist movement would rise up and scream. And I'm not telling you to go out and start a movement protesting the way you're treated, but I'm telling you to understand it's important that you be portrayed accurately. It's very important. The threat of society depends on men knowing how to stand in their manhood. God created you and he put you in an office that carries authority. It carries power. It has the ability to protect and guard and offer a covering for the whole family to grow up under, for the society to grow up under. And we've blurred all of that in the last 30 years, and we've made it, no big deal. And it is a huge deal because it was God's idea to create manhood and place man in a position of authority. Before this weekend's over, I hope I challenge you to take back that full mantle, that full anointing, that full authority that is on you simply because you're a man. Not because you've got all the answers, not because you know what you're doing, not because you've paid all your bills, not because you know all the answers for your household. But because you are a man, you carry a certain degree of authority. I refer to it as the mantle of manhood, and the scripture I use on that is taken out of 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. I'm going to basically just tell you this story. It's the story of Elijah, who was a mighty, powerful prophet that did mighty miracles. And he had this servant that worked for him named Elisha. And Elisha had never done a single miracle. He was a servant. That's all he was. He didn't have any great miracle-working power whatsoever. But Elisha knew that Elijah was about to be taken. And he told him, "I want a double portion of your mantle. I want a double portion of your anointing." And Elijah told him, "If you see me when I'm taken, your prayer will be answered." Elijah was caught up by the fiery chariot into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And Elijah's mantle fell off of him, his cloak, his coat, fell off of him to the ground. And Elisha went and picked it up, walked back to the river, struck the river with the cloak, and the river parted. Now here was a guy who'd never done a single miracle. He starts parting rivers. He does more miracles than Elijah ever had done. He demonstrates the power and majesty of God everywhere. The only difference is, before he didn't have the mantle, afterward he had the mantle. So there's power in a mantle. I walk under the mantle. If you notice, when I pray, God, I step in under the mantle of the anointing you have on my life. I have an anointing for teaching. I have an anointing for the prophetic. And I have some other things. But those are two key ones. And I have learned that this mantle works apart from me. I can be having a terrible day, not even feel like I'm a Christian. And I have to speak that night at some church, and all I have to do is once I get under that mantle, that anointing starts flowing, and I just cooperate with it. I have actually answered questions that I had. I'm standing there talking, and out my mouth will come the answer to a question that I had. And I'm just amazed. I think, I hope they take that because I need to listen to it. So I've learned about this mantle thing, that the mantle has in it the equipping, the power, the anointing to get the job done. So many times I tell people, my real job is to get from the chair to the pulpit. That's the hardest job, is no matter how I'm feeling sitting there about to be introduced, I still got to get up and walk up there feeling inadequate, incapable, not sure what all I'm going to say. But if I can get to the pulpit, the mantle on me will take over and I just cooperate with it. Well, I understood this mantle thing. God got to talking to me about the mantle of manhood. He got to talking to me about the mantle of manhood. He said, I called men to stand in a position called manhood. And there is a mantle, there is an anointing on them for this job. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to show me how to explain this to where they get it. And he gave me a real simple illustration that you'll get real quick. It's like a policeman's uniform. We can take any guy in this room. We could have put a policeman's uniform on you, stand you out in any street, and if you hold up your hand, what will happen?
People will stop.
They're going to stop. All right. You, without that uniform, could stand out in the middle of the road, hold your hand up, and they'd swerve around you and get past you, right?
Or run over you.
But with the uniform on, they will stop for that uniform, won't they? There is a uniform in the spirit realm available to you simply because you are a man. God did not call you and put you in that position without giving you the backup anointing to do the job. And one of the hardest things for guys is you've been put in a horrible position of responsibility. Women, we whine about how unfair it is of this and unfair that. And my husband once told me, he says, it's just unfair that we carry all this responsibility. And I didn't understand that when he first said it. But over the years of just maturing, getting years under my belt, learning things in the Lord, I come to recognize you guys carry a lot of responsibility. It's like when Jack and I went through a really bad period in our life where we were just on the verge of divorce. And he told me, he said, God told him if that marriage failed, that God would hold him accountable. And he said, well, what about her? And he says, it's you. I put you in charge. I will hold you personally accountable for this marriage. God doesn't deal with y'all as softly as he deals with us women. I mean, he's very blunt. At that period of time in our life when everything was in such bad shape, the Lord told him he was at a crossroad. And he said, at that time he had backslid. He was having an affair. And the Lord told him, he says, you have a choice to make. He says, you can go with the other woman, and I promise you, you will die in just a couple of years. You can stay with your wife. I will bless you, prosper you, and increase you. At the time, you know, he wasn't real gung-ho about the marriage because it just a big mess. But dying or stay with his wife, die or stay with his wife, it made the choice pretty easy. Now, God will talk that blunt with you.
Yeah.
He's very blunt with you. Because he designed you to respond to that kind of truth. You don't respond as well to just nice appeal. You have to have truth right between your eyes. That's the way he made you. And God designed you certain ways because he put you in a position of responsibility. Nobody else can fill the shoes of a man. Now, yes, I can walk in my calling. God called me and anointed me to teach. I don't attempt to be a man. I am doing this as a woman, and I do it through the vessel of womanhood, but it's anointed. I cannot fill the position of a man who has authority, covering, protection, all those things that come with you because you are a man. And I want to begin tonight to stir up in you a reality that there is a uniform that you can put on. And when you wear that uniform in the spirit realm, when you speak, demons listen. When you pray, heaven is moved. Not because you got it together. My son-in-law is a policeman. And it's amazing to watch Daniel get ready for work. He puts on that uniform and then he starts putting on all the equipment. He has to go work out just to carry the weight of everything he's got. He has this protective bullet shield thing he wears. He has this belt with all of the equipment on it. His uniform is equipped for the job. His uniform carries the things he's going to need to do the job. Well, the mantle of manhood carries with the mantle the equipping you need. Daniel cannot arrest someone because he's a great guy and he's got his home life all together. He can arrest him because he's wearing a policeman's uniform. When a burglar is breaking into somebody's home, they call the police and the policeman shows up. You don't say to him, sir, are you a good moral character and do you have your family all together and are you a good husband? You don't care. You want his uniform to work, right? You don't care when I stand up to teach. You're not saying, well, now Janice, have you got everything together? Are you feeling good tonight? Are you really? You just say, we want the anointing that's on your life. We want to hear what you've got to say. Well, one of the problems that we have is you guys get to looking at your weaknesses. You get to looking at your shortcomings. You get to looking at your inabilities. You get to looking at failures. Unless we have perfect guys in here. Do we have any perfect guys, Pastor?
I can attest for everybody from our church that no.
There's no perfect ones. Okay.
Come on.
What a relief. What a relief. You'll get to looking at your shortcomings and you'll forget to put on your uniform. You'll think you can't do it because you see your shortcomings. We're not interested in your shortcomings. We want you wearing your uniform. We want you standing in that office and letting the anointing on that office work through you. We don't care if you haven't got it all together. I have learned more by obeying God and being put in positions where I got to watch God flow through me. That's how I've learned. You will learn more about manhood if you learn to step in under that position, anointing, and mantle, and it will work through you. Your wife will ask you a question. You don't have a single answer for it, and you'll stand in that position. You say, God, you put me in this position, and out will flow that answer, and you'll think, ooh, God, you made me look good. I've seen him do it all the time with me. He shows up. He uses me, and people think, wow, Janice is, boy, she's got it together. Nope. I just know how to step under the mantle. I know how to cooperate with that mantle on my life. Same thing for you guys. When you're in that position of manhood and you're facing an obstacle that you don't have an answer for, the devil wants you to look at yourself and get discouraged and get mad at yourself. You guys always get mad at yourself when you don't have answers. It'll amaze me how you'll get mad because you don't have the answer. Instead of stopping, stepping under the mantle and say, God, you put me in this position of leadership, of manhood. I need you to do this. I don't know how to do it. I need you. He will make you look extremely good. He will help you pull off things you could never pull off. But he is not obligated to meet you in your own ability and help your ability do it. He is obligated because he gave you the uniform. He is obligated to that uniform to honor it. Policeman's uniform is what gives him the authority, not who he is personally. He may have left the house and just had a big fight with his wife, and yet he can stop you and give you a ticket because of the uniform he's wearing. He may be a lousy father, but he can arrest you and put you in jail if you've broken a law because of the uniform he's wearing. So we can't wait for you guys to get it all together and have all the answers. You have to learn to step over under that mantle of manhood and let the anointing of God do things through you that in your own ability you don't have. The strength, the answers, the wisdom. I had an opportunity to teach some of the prophetic training to a variety of leaders, and you had some that didn't believe in some of the things I was teaching. One time I forgot to pray the prayer, I step under the mantle of your anointing on my life, God. It went over like a lead balloon, and I had one particular leader just opposing everything I said. And I went out of that place thinking, I am not coming back and trying to teach them nothing. And my daughter says to me, Mom, you didn't step under your mantle. And I thought, oh, you were right. So the next time I show up, I step under that mantle, and I watch my mantle just shut that man's mouth. He didn't interrupt. He didn't cause controversy. He sat there because I was standing in the anointing. There is an anointing on you to be a man. You didn't ask to be created a man. God put you in that position. Therefore, God will back you up when you say, God, I step under the anointing, the mantle you have for me to be in the office of manhood. The other thing that needs to happen is, have you ever watched soldiers, how they carry a pride about who they are and they require other soldiers to live up to the standard? If one of them does something foolish, they all get angry at him and say, look, you make us all look bad. Men, you need to start honoring manhood and holding other men accountable. This is an awesome position of honor and power and authority. And you don't need some knothead out there running around slandering manhood. Take back the awesome, wonderful position of manhood. Take it back. When there's a commercial on TV that makes men like look like a dork, if your children are in the room, you stop and say, that's a lie that makes men look like a dork. That's not true. Start holding up the office of manhood. Start positioning that office of manhood. I'll throw this one in for the young guys in the room or any of the unmarried guys in the room. Another twist that has started happening in our society that is targeted at destroying manhood is all of the movies, anytime there is relationship between a man and a woman, the woman always makes the first move. You start watching. I started watching about 3 years ago, and in every one of them, the woman makes the first move. That goes totally contrary to your conqueror nature. And it is unraveling our society because the entire makeup is you're the conqueror. And when you conquer, you take responsibility. When it falls in your lap, you don't take responsibility for it. And guys, if you let a girl chase you down and you marry her, you're never going to respect her. And you're going to get angry at her because you never really decided this was what you wanted. She convinced you. And huge amount of problem in marriage is that our society has reached the point where the girls chase the boys. And they catch a boy, they get married, and then the guy goes through the next 20 years wondering, I'm saddled with this responsibility and I don't even know if I ever wanted it. You've got to conquer. It's just in your nature. Our television and all of this is destroying the very fiber of manhood. It's taking away from you. Young guys, they just expect girls to call them and chase after them. They just expect it. Men in their 30s even have this wrong concept that, well, she didn't show any real interest in me, so they don't pursue. And we start relationships off totally on the wrong foot. Because you guys have to conquer. Because if you conquer, then you own the responsibility. You get to beat your chest and say, see what I have obtained. But if you don't get to conquer, it does not trigger you into that leader you're designed to be. So guys, any girls chase after you, you back them off. You decide who you want to chase. Don't let them chase you down. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about manhood. I'm sure all of you guys have noticed that men and women are totally different. I mean, totally, completely different. You talk Japanese and we talk German. And here we are trying to relate to each other, and we don't even talk the same language. So if you don't understand the difference between men and women, you're going to stay frustrated in your manhood because you don't understand why this woman is not happy with you. But if you understand the differences, then we can begin to communicate. It also helps if the woman knows these differences. I've had guys offer to pay me to teach their wives this stuff. As a matter of fact, there is a great book, and I forgot to bring it. There is an awesome book, and I don't know how you'll get it into your wife's hands, but if you can possibly let it be her idea to get it, or have a friend give it to her. Yeah. It's not a Christian book. It's by Dr. Laurel Schlesinger, you know, the radio talk show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's called The Proper Care and Feeding of a Husband. And she rips the feminists to shreds. And she tells the women they need to start appreciating the man in their life. And she tells them how to go about appreciating a man. And she tells them, quit whining and complaining about everything. I mean, she just nails them. So, if there's any way that that book can come into your wife's hands, it would be awesome. A friend of mine was reading the book. She'd gotten into about the second chapter and laid it down, and she said, Janice, I want you to read this book. I started reading it, but I don't like it. So, I took it, and I'm a fast reader, and I read it that night. Walked in the next morning and says, I agree with everything in this book. I said, yes, it's not something that you can just start doing out of effort, but you need to take the principles that are in this book and start applying them in your life. You know, it's been all about women now for 20 years. Our feelings, our needs, what we want, what you should do for us. Well, the tables are turning, guys. We got to equal this thing out because it's all about you too. You've got to also be appreciated and valued because you're a man. That's got to happen. You cannot continue in a society that is stripping you of your value as a man. You cannot do that. You have got to rise up and begin to say, this is who we are. This is who we are. You can buy the book, take it home to your wife, and tell her that Janice Seeney told you to buy this book, that it would be a very good book for every wife that you have. And do not read it, because if you read it, then it could be contentious, because you could say, but in the book it says, just say, Janice Seeney said to give this to you, that it'd be a great book for every wife. To show you the differences between men and women, I want to tell you the story of John and Alice. John and Alice were engaged to get married. They were madly in love with each other. And they decided to go on a picnic. And so they went out into the country, and they spread out their picnic blanket, and they had a great picnic. And John says to Alice, you know, I think I'm going to go up on the north side of this old barn, because I think I saw some deer tracks and I want to check them out. And Alice says, well, while you're doing that, I'm going to go on the south side of the barn because there's some wildflowers and I want to pick some flowers. So they go their separate ways, and then they meet back, pick up all the picnic supplies, put them in the car, start back into town. And John says, that was a very interesting old red barn. Alice says, yeah, it was, but it was green. He says, it was a red barn. She says, are you telling me I don't have two eyes in my head? It was green. Well, Miss Know-It-All, I guess you think you know everything. Well, you pig-headed man, you're not willing to even admit I know something. It was a green barn. He says, it's a red barn. And they get in this huge argument. They fight. They break up. And the sad part about it was, on the north side it was painted red. On the south side it was painted green. And they were both right. Now, that is a perfect illustration of every circumstance you approach with a woman. Her view will be totally different from your view, but she's right. And your view will be totally different from hers, but you're right. You are both right. And it takes both views to get the whole picture. If you insist on that you're the only one right, you're going to miss out on something that balances everything out. You've got to recognize God made her that way. It wasn't an accident. I know you guys think you're married to the only dingy woman in the world. But all of us appear to be dingy to you. We appear to be dingy. We're not dingy. Are you going to tell God he made a dingy creation? If God made us this way, he made us this way for a reason. He knew what he was doing. Now, see, we women, we look at all you guys and we think, they're stupid. They're just stupid. You can't tell them nothing. They're stupid. And it's all because we get the same view that you don't see it our way. Well, you can't see it our way. You know, I can't see it your way. You can do your best to make me see it your way. I'm not going to see it your way, because I can't see it your way. But I can value you and respect you and take into account you're seeing something I don't see. So if you'll grab that one truth, I can remember in my early years of marriage, somebody taught me the difference between men and women. And suddenly it started making sense. I found out he wasn't dumb and he wasn't hard-hearted. Men and women are different. Men are logical. Women are emotional. Now, don't make fun of the fact we're emotional. God made us emotional. And the fact that we're emotional, we'll pick up on stuff you won't even see.
Right.
Our emotionalism makes us real sensitive to stuff you guys don't see. It's an asset to you. Don't put it down. But understand that we are emotional. Example. Now, this is where the reason I always thought my husband was hard-hearted. I would be at that point where women have to have their emotional cup filled up. We run on having our emotional cup filled up. And so I would say, honey, do you love me? And of course he gave me a logical answer. Well, of course I do. I'm here, aren't I? Now, that makes perfect sense to you guys. I wasn't wanting logic. I was needing my emotional cup filled up. So I'd go in another room and cry, because I thought, the man's so cold-hearted. I'm just asking him to tell me that he loves me, and he's, I'm here, aren't I? Well, after I learned this difference, I understood what he was saying. You guys don't hang around if you don't care. You're there working hard to provide and going through tough places because you really care. And I began to appreciate what he was trying to say when he said, of course I do, I'm here, aren't I? But also he began to learn that when I held out my little empty cup, it was to his benefit to fill it up.
Yeah, grab that girl.
It was his benefit to put some emotional support in there. You guys, you're logical, okay? You understand that if you take a plant and never give it water, what's going to happen?
It's going to die.
It's going to die.
Unless it's plastic.
Yeah, you don't want plastic. You don't want plastic. So, if you can figure that out, you men understand that if you do not put oil in your car, it's going to freeze up on you. You're not shocked. If you don't put oil in your car, it doesn't shock you if it freezes up on you. I mean, that's predictable. If you do not give your wife emotional support, I promise you, she's going to freeze up on you. She's going to become hard. She's going to become cold. She's going to separate herself from you. Because she thrives on emotional support. It may seem silly to you. It's important to her. That's like telling that plant, that's silly. You don't need any water. Telling your car, you can run without oil. That's dumb. Well, to expect a wife to function without having the emotional support that God intended her to have, that's dumb, guys. Yeah. You got a predictable result coming. You're smarter than that. You make sure you take care of her emotionally. You can figure that out. Y'all are good. Once you understand what has to be done, you guys are great at doing it. That's just a fact with y'all. If you understand it, you can do it. But if you don't understand it, you look at it like, I don't get this. It doesn't make no sense. I ain't doing it. Another example of logic and emotions. The little wife wrecks the family car. Husband comes home. The car sitting in the front yard, all dented up. He walks through the door. There stands his wife, perfectly healthy, no bruises or anything. He's already assessed the situation that she's okay. And what does he say out of his mouth?
You tore up my car.
What does the other car look like? Yeah. The woman bursts into tears, will not speak to him, goes to her bedroom, slams the door. Why? For her, you just said, I don't care about you.
Yeah,
the car is more important to me.
Yeah.
She was needing emotional support. You were being logical. Yeah. It's obvious she's okay. The car isn't. This is going to mean financial hardship of some kind. You're thinking responsibility. You're thinking all those things guys think. Yeah. So if you just understand that difference. Once I understood that my son had wrecked the car one time, and that exact reason, what does the other car look like? And I said, don't you even care about your son? Of course, my son was standing right there. So he already assessed the situation that the son was okay. You see how huge misunderstandings can happen if you don't understand that difference. Another difference between men and women. Men need space. Women need attention. Now, this is how this works. This will also create the cold-hearted syndrome. I need attention when I'm upset. If I'm upset, I want my husband to say, honey, what's wrong? And of course, I'll probably tell him, I don't know, or nothing. But he's not supposed to leave just because I said that. He's supposed to stay there and comfort me and tell me everything's going to be okay. So my husband gets upset. So what am I going to do for him? I'm going to do for him what I would want. I'm going to give him lots of attention, which is going to drive him crazy. Then he's going to get upset with me, and I'm going to think he's cold-hearted. He won't even let me encourage him. And we have another huge misunderstanding. And once I understood that when my husband got upset, the average man, not every man, but the average man, when you've got something on your mind, you want to be left alone. And once I understood that, I saw my husband upset. I gave him lots of space. All right, vice versa. We women need attention. So when I get upset, what does my husband do for me? What he would want done for him. He leaves me alone. Which means I'm going to go to my bedroom, I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to start crying. And after about 5 minutes, he hasn't come to see what's wrong. So then I forget what it was I started crying about originally. Now I'm crying because he's too cold-hearted to even be concerned. When a woman goes to her bedroom and shuts the door, it is to see if you care enough to open the door. Got it, guys? You think it's because what you would do if you went in there and shut the door, you want to be left alone. No. When she shuts that door, she's waiting to see if her man cares enough to come back and say, honey, what's wrong? And she's going to say, I don't know, or nothing. But you just say, honey, I'm here for you. Let me pray for you. Let me just put my arms around you. Persist, guys. Don't give in to the little emotional stuff. Pour her emotional cup full, even if she's fighting you. Now, there are exceptions to that rule. There are a few women that really do want to be left alone. But you need to have wisdom to know if your wife happens to be one of those. This is where you guys conclude your wife is weird and hard to please. And this is the other thing. When a woman gets upset, you guys try to solve it. Do not try to solve it. There's probably not a solution because there's probably not a problem. It's just... I'm not saying this to her at that moment, but what I'm saying, it's just her emotions are in a turmoil. There's not really a big a problem as she feels like there is. And what she's needing is to know there's someone there to comfort her, there's someone to say the right things, there's someone that's going to pray for her, there's someone that's not going to be shaken by her actions. If her actions can affect you, get you upset, then her world is insecure. But if it doesn't shake you, then her world is secure. Okay? All right. Another area, men are physically stronger, but we women last longer. Men are physically stronger, but we women last longer. You can take a couple, put them in the yard to work. The guy can pick up all the heavy stuff. He can do stuff that woman couldn't even dream of doing. But he's going to tire out and be ready to go in the house at least an hour before she even begins to get tired. And it may not be yard work. Some women aren't cut out for yard work. I'm just using that as an example. That woman will be going an hour after he has quit. Now, if you don't understand this difference, this is what the guy's going to think. She's a slave driver. I am worn out, and here she's wanting more. The woman's going to think, he's a lazy bum. He just wants to go watch TV. And it's a scientific fact. You guys are stronger, but we'll go an hour past you in endurance. If you understand that, it'll solve a lot of misunderstanding between husbands and wives. Okay, another difference is you guys are conquerors. Women are compassionate supporters. You just want to conquer and solve the problem. It's just that simple. Let's get it over with. And the woman needs to get in there and feel around and find the right thing. One of the quickest ways this shows up for you guys being a conqueror is shopping. All right, if I say, let's go to the store and buy shoes. No problem. We go through the door, you go to the shoe shop, that one fits, let's buy it, let's out of here. The woman, she goes through the door and you think you're headed to the shoe. I mean, you're focused. You're going to go conquer the shoes. You are going to buy shoes. You are going to conquer this. And she takes a right turn over here into the baby department. And you're thinking, oh, shoes, we got to get back to the shoes, honey. We're here to conquer the shoes. And she'll wander over into the appliance department and start talking about buying appliances. And you're thinking, shoes, don't you understand? The shoes need to be conquered. This is what drives y'all crazy, is because, see, you think different from us women. All right, if women understand that this is sheer torture to you guys, they'll have more compassion on you, okay? But if you'll also understand this is something she enjoys doing, and she enjoys exploring and investigating and all this. I know this guy that I would just love for him to give lessons to guys. His wife is a horrendous shopper. She's going to buy a coat. We're going to go to 15 stores, and then she's going to return the coat that she bought before it's all over with and get another one. This guy loves his wife, and he knows it's important to her for him to do some things with her. So about once a month or once every 2 months, he says, when do you want to go shopping? And he will take the entire day, and his focus is not on conquering buying a coat, because it'll drive him crazy watching this woman not be able to make a decision about a coat. His goal is to give her a good day.
Yeah.
He will go to 15 stores. He will endure all of it with a smile, and she absolutely adores him. Because he did something for her. He did it because it was important to her. So every time I see do this, it's like, that is some man that he can endure this simply because he loves this woman and he wants to demonstrate it to her. Are you seeing that, guys? Pick your battles. The shopping thing, try to pick it on your terms. Say, hey, honey, would you like to go shopping next week? Pick out the day and I'll go with you. Of course, you'll faint. After you pick her up off the floor, she can just, what's happening here? I don't understand it. He hates shopping. And you just say, honey, I'm doing this for you because you really enjoy this and I just want to do something that you really enjoy. And then you put your focus on watching her enjoy her day. And don't worry about the shopping thing. You got it? Another problem, because you're conquerors, you can be awesome when you are romancing the woman before you get married. But because you're a conqueror, once you have got her to say yes and you've got the ring on her finger, she's been conquered. So you quit courting. You quit romancing. You have already conquered. So why? I mean, to you, logically, it's a waste of time to keep this courtship thing going. But you miss the point that she needs that emotional support. So don't ever quit courting your wife.
Take her out to dinner at least once a week.
Take her out to have a special date. Treat her like she is just royalty. And I'm telling you, it'll pay off for you. A man's point of view about manhood. There are three factors that kind of are the outstanding factors that label a man. You know, it says he's a man. One is, of course, your sex drive. The other is that you're a provider. And the other is God. These three things really identify you as a man. Guy's view, this is the list of importance he puts, the list that the world puts, the list that the average guy, if he's not careful, will put. His view of manhood is sex, provider, and God. A woman's point of what makes a man in her eyes is he has a relationship with God, he's a good provider, and the sex ain't bad. That's the way she's wired, guys. She isn't wired like you. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I should say this with young guys that are going to be dating.
Oh.
You're guys of integrity, aren't you? You won't use this secret information for your advantage, will you? Because I'm going to give you secret information. I'm going to just say this real blunt. If you really want to turn your wife on, pray with her. That's the reason, young guys, don't pray with girls you're dating. Do not pray with them. Do not pray with young women. You're walking on dangerous ground. Because the moment you start praying with your wife, you grow about 10 feet in her eyes. Because her God and her man are in relationship. And there's nothing makes her feel more secure and more ready to just admire you and appreciate you than that. So in her view, if you want to be a man in her eyes, she needs to see you have a relationship with God. You know you have one, and it is wrong, women that are always wanting to prove you have a relationship by making you do it the way they do it, because you guys can run on less. You can get a 5-minute blurb out of the word and be filled up. We need 2 hours of tapes to listen to. And then women who say, oh, you're not committed because you're not listening to 2 hours of tape. Well, they're totally missing it, because you guys can take less and generate more off of it. But they still need to see your spirituality. They need you to take time to say a prayer with them. They need you to take time to quote a scripture. If the Lord talks to you during the day, tell your wife, you know, the Lord told me such and such today. Because that makes her feel so secure that her man and her God are in communication and relationship. Another difference. sexually, men are speedboats and women are crockpots.
That's hard to write down.
No, crockpots. Crockpots are slow, they warm up slow, they take slow process, but they get the process done. You guys are just simple, you know? And if you're going to have a good relationship with your wife sexually, you're going to have to recognize that you have to give her time to begin to respond to you. You guys can respond in 60 seconds. A woman, I'll just say this bluntly. If you want to have sex with your wife, you need to start that morning saying nice things to her. That's the truth. It's the truth. Some of you guys already know this. But if you're thinking, I'd like to have a party tonight, you better leave the house that morning saying sweet things to her. Because that will begin the slow process of her getting ready to respond to you. And if you don't understand that, it's going to really harm your relationship.
Yeah, coming in and cleaning the house helps too.
Yeah, coming in and cleaning the house, doing thoughtful things for her. If you've had a bad day at work, don't come through the door telling her your bad day. Because a woman is a responder, and she's going to respond to what you're dishing out. You got a bad attitude, she's going to freeze up, tense up, respond and react to you. So if you've had a bad day, leave your bad day outside the door, walk through the door, and give your wife a smile, a hug, and honey, how are you? And then, if you really want her to help you with the bad day you've had, when the opportunity arises, say, honey, I'd just like to share with you about my day today. And it'll just be great. But if you come through that door, man, I had a lousy day at work, she's going to respond to it. And then you guys, a few hours later, you're going to be thinking other things and wanting to go someplace that she isn't interested in going in because you done turned her off big time. Another huge misunderstanding between men and women is ego and emotions. You guys run on ego. It's not a bad thing. We've made jokes about the male ego. It's not a bad thing. The male ego is the power generator in you. I mean, it is the thing that makes you stand up to the challenge and say, yeah, I'll go out and take care of that. If a wife can learn to minister, just like a woman has to have her emotions ministered to, or she can't function, she'll dry up, a guy has got to have his ego ministered to, or it's not worth it. You'll reach a point of, why am I working so hard? Why am I killing myself? Nobody appreciates me anyhow. You'll just dry up in your drive to do things for your wife and your family. A woman has got to minister to the male ego. And we've been taught things like it's silly to make a big to-do over a man. Oh, no. It's not silly at all. It is the right thing to let you know, I really admire how hard you work. I appreciate the fact that you're willing to go out there in that world every day and work so hard. It doesn't hurt for a wife to say, honey, you just amaze me how you can pick up all that heavy stuff. And if she deliberately does these things, just showing appreciation for the thing that makes you a man, you'll stand up and say, what giants can I slay for this woman of mine? But if she doesn't minister to your ego, you get worn down, torn down, weary, and it's not worth it. So the ego thing is not a silly thing. It is the very power generator that God has put in males, just like the emotions are the power generator in a woman. Another difference is, this one is hilarious, choice and feeling. This is the way it works. The little wife mentions that she would like for you to go to a particular meeting with her. And she says, honey, I'd really like it if you'd go with me to such and such meeting. It might be a church meeting. It might be something else. And you say, well, I really don't want to, but if you want me to, I will. Now, you are making a choice to do it because you think it'll please her. And she gets upset with you. Well, if you don't want to, then you don't have to. And you're going, wait a minute, I said I'd go. What's the big deal? She thinks that a choice is not valid unless you feel it.
Yes.
And you guys go, feel it? What do you mean? I mean, it's either choose to do it or choose not to do it. What's this feeling thing got to do with it? But women think that if you just make a point blank choice and there's no feeling in it, then it wasn't sincere. If you can understand this, it makes such a difference. I mean, I understand now that if a man chooses to do something, you need to stand up and cheer for him because he chose to do it. It has nothing to do with feelings. If you're going to wait for him to feel it, you're going to be waiting a long time. And women need to understand. But women do generate a lot of their actions based on feeling, and not all of that's bad. Our feelings are part of that, where we're very sensitive and we can tune in on things that you guys won't see. We can pick up on stuff, what you call intuition, but it's simply because we're female and we can sense it. So our feelings are important, but if we don't understand them, they can drive you crazy and drive us crazy too. I even had discussions with God about, Lord, why did you give us women all these weird feelings? Out of this, if there's a misunderstanding on this one, you're going to think she's crazy because you're trying to please her and she's upset. And she's going to think that you just don't really even care, that you have no emotional support for her whatsoever. Then one of the last ones is that women are talkative and men are not. You can see this in babies. Baby boys will go, Baby girls will, My little granddaughter, it was so funny. When she was born, before she could speak any English whatsoever, you could walk in the door at her house. She'd run and crawl up on the couch, sit down and pat the couch next to her. So you'd come sit down next to her. You'd sit down and she'd look at you and go, she'd go, you didn't know a word she said. She wasn't saying any English, but she wanted to talk. She'd hold whole conversations with you.
Yeah.
And no, not a word in any of it. That's a way a woman, they have to talk. You guys, you could get through life on very few words. You're just made that way. Very few of you are talkative. So this is a huge difference. Women need to tone down at times and understand you guys just aren't talkers. But at times you need to deliberately share your heart, talk to her, give her a chance to talk, and please don't tune her out. I have to tell you the truth on this one. When God made men, he created in your hearing the inability to pick up the frequency of your wife's voice. It's the truth. Now the reason for that, let me explain the reason to it, okay? The reason is you were designed to be the leader. You were designed to be the leader. And therefore you don't hear the woman's voice because you're the leader. You have to deliberately choose to listen to her. It's the only way you'll hear. You will not hear her unless you deliberately choose to listen. And God deliberately designed you that way so that you could be the leader. But I'm telling you, you're missing out on it if you don't deliberately take time and say, honey, share with me what's going on with you and choose to listen. I had discovered the wonderful benefits of vitamins. And so I started sharing with him, you know, honey, you really need to start taking vitamins, you know. And he never would do it. And I told him, hey, honey, zinc is really good for the male. I mean, it's really good mineral vitamin for the male. I'd said it, you know, about once every 3 months I'd bring it up because I was interested in his health and I wanted to see him healthy. And he never did a thing about it. One day, he had been out having coffee with the boys. He walks in the door, and he says, hey, honey, guess what? I was talking to George down at the coffee shop. He said that zinc is very good for men to take. And my mouth just dropped, and he got in the car, drove to Walmart, and bought a bottle. And my mouth dropped. It's like, I don't believe it. I've been saying it for a year. That's when I came to understand. You guys really, it's just in your makeup. You do not hear us. It's not a bad thing, but it's something you've got to deliberately choose at times to stop and hear. It's like any leader. Pastor does not hear all of your yeah-yeah about church. Every once in a while, though, he picks up, I need to listen to this one. They've got a legitimate thing they're trying to tell me here. I hate to tell you, but a lot of your complaints and suggestions, he couldn't tell you 5 minutes after you tell him. Because a leader cannot absorb all of this information. And so he doesn't tune it all in. And you're a leader, and you're not going to be listening to your wife. That's not a bad thing, but you at the same time have to decide, this woman is a helpmate. I need to make sure I'm hearing the important things she's saying. So you take time and you say, hey, honey, share with me. Is there anything in particular God's been laying on your heart to share with me? And see, if my husband had said that to me, I'd say, honey, you know, I've really had it on my heart that you need to be taking vitamins. And then he would have chose to receive what I said and take action on it, and he would have been on vitamins a year earlier. But it took him hearing it from another guy before he even heard it or valued it. Are you seeing how important it is that you learn to listen, that you deliberately choose to listen? Now, you can throw out the stuff that doesn't fit, but take time to hear. Because you're not going to hear unless you take time to hear. Okay, there was one other thing I was going to point out. Yeah, this one's really important. There's a verse in the Bible that says, husbands, be not bitter towards your wives. And of course, I read that verse and I thought, how dare they be bitter toward us? We're trying to make their life better. The very idea they'd be bitter toward us. And I said, Lord, why would you say that to a husband? And the reason that verse is in there is because you have been born to be independent. You've been born to be a leader. You've been born to be a little kingdom unto yourself. I mean, you really are. That's the way God made men. You each establish your little kingdoms, and you rule those kingdoms. That's what you're supposed to do. But God made you that way. So this very trait in you gives you a tendency to be selfish. You have a real tendency to be selfish because of this trait. And if you do not deliberately, intentionally choose to lay your life down for your wife and your children, if you get suckered into a marriage that you didn't conquer, you're going to come to a point one day you're going to look at that woman and think, I could be out fishing if I didn't have all this responsibility. I could have me a motorcycle and drive across country if I didn't have all this responsibility. And it's all her fault. And that's not true. Guys, you got yourself into that marriage. You need to own the responsibility for it and do what Jesus said, which is love your wife and lay your life down for her. And when it says lay your life down, it means lay down the fact you don't fish in it. You were called to be conquerors. You were called to be rulers. You were called to be leaders. And when you whine about responsibility, you're not standing up in the mantle that God gave you. It is a tough place. You do have responsibility. It is unfair. You have to give up your freedom to take on a wife and family. But nobody held a gun to your head. You chose it. Bite the bullet and quit whining about it and stand in the anointing that God has given you to fill that position. And if you stand in it, God will prosper your little kingdom. He will prosper your wife. He will prosper your children. He will prosper you because you're standing in that position that's been given to you. But if you whine and complain and get bitter towards your wife, God does not take that lightly. He does not take it lightly when you want to point your finger at her and blame her and not own the responsibility he gave you. And then recognize that because you have been called to be a leader, you've been called to have this little kingdom of your own, there is a weakness there to be selfish. We women, we're born into the world instinctively knowing you're going no place unless you learn to submit. We know that there's just no way you're going to make it without recognizing there are people above you. You guys, you're running in the world, you're going to go conquer it. That never occurred to you. You've got to submit to anybody. I mean, there are certain situations, but basically it's your life. And then you go marry somebody. No longer is it your life. That life belongs to her and the kids. Now, if you got yourself married and you got into it with the wrong attitude and here you are weighted down with responsibility that you never wanted, you're going to have to go have a serious talk with God and say, you know, God, I didn't use wisdom. I got ahead of it. I wasn't mature enough to own the responsibility of what I was taking on. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you, God, to help me step up to the plate like a man and take on the responsibility that I have accepted in a wife and children. And when you do that, God Almighty is going to honor you. He's going to promote you. He's going to bless you. He's going to prosper you. He isn't obligated to you as an individual to make your life easy. He is obligated to the office of manhood. And when a man stands in the office of manhood, he is obligated to back that office up. He's obligated to back you up. Not you personally as an individual. All the things he's obligated to you is to knock you in the head because you deserve it as an individual. Because all of us are failures. But as a man standing in a position he ordained, he is obligated to back you up. Submit to that anointing that's on you to be a man. Say, Lord, be honest with him and say, you know, Lord, I feel kind of incapable in the position I'm in. I don't have all the answers. My wife's not happy. I need to step under the anointing you have for me, and I need to learn to cooperate with it. You got any questions or comments?
That was interesting.
I figured out something after my wife told me. She let me on a secret. She don't want me to solve the problem. She just wants to air out the problem to me.
Yes. Also, women like to daydream. You know, I would daydream every once in a while and say, hey, honey, it'd be great if we had a sunlight here in the living room.
Yeah.
And the moment... The moment I said it, you know, he gets all uptight and he begins to get kind of ruffled and he's no fun to be around. And I'm thinking, what's your problem? And see, what I didn't understand when I started daydreaming about the sunlight, it's probably never going to happen and I probably know it's not going to happen. He thinks that he's got to go do it. He's already figured out the money and he's thinking, oh man, I just can't do this and she's going to be upset. No, she's just talking. She doesn't mean anything by that. Now, when she actually says, well, let's go to the store, then you might have to say, honey, this isn't financially feasible and I don't have the time to do it. Let me pray with you about this if this is really important with you. Let me pray with you about it.
Don't do that.
Let me pray with you about it and let's believe God that if this is really important to you, he'll work out the finances, he'll give me the time, whatever's needed to get it done. But just listen to her. Just let her imagine, let her dream, let her think. But don't freak out. You don't have to go do these things. If women understood how much you guys really want to please them, they really don't understand that half the time you get upset because you feel like you're not doing everything for her that she needs. And women don't know that. They think you're just upset and grouchy. They don't understand that you're upset because you're really wanting to please her. This is also one of your weaknesses. Oh, here's something else we've got to put on this tape. I have a friend, a couple. When I first met them, they were sharing different things with me. And he shared about how he really believed God had shown him this piece of property to buy. And it was a house that needed a lot of work, but he really felt God shown it to him. And he really felt like it'd be a great investment. But he couldn't convince his wife. And she was adamantly against it, so he didn't buy it. A year later, that very property, he was going to buy it, fix the house, and then put storage units behind it to rent out. That very property, the state police built their headquarters right next to it. So you can imagine, everybody would have wanted their property in the rental storage units. It's right by the police headquarters. And he was just furious because she kept him from buying it. Why did Adam bite the apple?
Because he asked him to.
And he didn't want to upset the little woman. So he deliberately did something that he knew he wasn't supposed to do. Because he was more afraid of her anger than he was of God's.
Yeah.
Now, you guys have a weakness in this area. that you will do things to please the little woman when you know God has told you to do otherwise. Mm-hmm. I told him, you got to quit blaming your wife. Nope. You heard God. You should have obeyed God. And this thing about submission, that meaning that y'all have got to be in total agreement, that's hogwash. The agreement thing goes like this. Honey, I believe the Lord has led me to do such and such. Do you get a no in your spirit? I would do this to my poor husband. I'd tell him something because God was always, I was always going across the bounds, going further. And I'd go to him and I'd say, honey, I believe the Lord has told me to do such and such. Do you get a no in your spirit? He said, I really don't want you to do that. I said, is that your flesh or is that your spirit? It's my flesh. I said, well, I'm going to obey God then. But if I went to him and I said that and he said, no, I get a no in my spirit.
Yes.
I wasn't going to do it. I was going to stop whatever I was doing because I trust that covering. Same thing with your wife. God will show you to do something. You go share it with your wife. Your wife just don't see it. She just doesn't understand it. And so you get mad. You think, well, I can't do it because she's not in agreement with me. What you do is you share it with her and you say, honey, do you get a no in your spirit?
Yeah.
That man's wife, it was her flesh, didn't want to do it. He had heard God. And if she doesn't get a no in her spirit, you better obey God. He couldn't blame her. God told him what to do, and he didn't do it. So submission is, I am in submission. My husband, when he was alive, I was in submission to him. If that man told me that the Lord showed him such and such, you could count on me, I'm lining up with it. But when God told me to do something and it just irritated my husband's flesh, I'm sorry, his flesh is going to get irritated because I'm going to obey God.
He'll get over it.
He'll get over it, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this submission thing is not that everybody will be in total agreement. They will be in agreement in that their spirit isn't getting a no against it. Okay. There's a mantle, there's a uniform for you guys to step into that has authority and equipping that's beyond your ability. You take it. You go to God and say, God, I want to know how to walk in this mantle of manhood. And I want to know how to stand in it. Blessings on you.
This has been another anointed message by Janice Seney. We hope you have been blessed. Janice can be contacted through the Storehouse Ministry, Post Office Box 12163, Olympia, Washington, 98508. Email thestorehouseministry@hotmail.com or call 360-570-0141. May the goodness of God chase you down and tackle you. His mercy hold you in place and His grace kiss your life.